would you like to make 100K per month with profitable courses? Sigrun will tell us how to do this. And what's so special about Sigrun is she's an award-winning business coach from Iceland residing in Switzerland. And she's a best-selling author and multiple seven-figure entrepreneur. And she's on a mission to accelerate gender equality through female entrepreneurship. And she's been called the leading business mentor for online entrepreneurs in Europe and is a TEDx speaker and host of the top-rated Sigrun Show podcast. And she's been featured in Forbes and numerous leading media. So Sigrun, tell us about how can an entrepreneur make 100K per month with profitable courses?
Welcome to Awakened Titans Podcast with Lily Patrescu. Mind-blowing conversations with influential business titans sharing how you can manifest abundance, love, joy, success through quantum awakening, quantum manifestation, quantum healing, quantum miracles, exponential business growth, and innovative products and services.
Well, it starts with building the foundation. Everything starts with your potato. It's my term for figuring out what you actually want to do. So if you're starting from scratch, you got to figure out what is in your potato. The reason I call it a potato is that I was hosting a workshop and describing on a flip chart, how you design your business and what's in it and what's not in it. You have to kind of have a clear problem that you want to solve. You cannot be solving every problem because then you are probably known for nothing. So you wanna niche down on a problem. And I was making lots of dots in the circle. And then someone called out and said, that's a potato. So I decided to call it a potato. So the first thing is crafting your potato sentence and figuring out like who you help, what you help them with, and what's the outcome. People buy the outcome. So you need to know what the outcome is. And you wanna make sure this is narrow enough that you are known for something, but also not like too niche down that nobody is interested in what you're doing. And then once you have this, you need to actually come up with like, who is the ideal client for this problem? Like who has actually this problem? And from there, I suggest that people do a survey, they do interviews, talk to real people. Don't just go ahead and create a course. That would be the worst thing. If you just created a course and hoped someone would buy it, that's not how it works. So really getting the foundation right. I have met entrepreneurs that do make seven figures. They do make 100,000 a month, but they have a hard time growing from there because they never did that foundation work of really truly understanding, what do I do? Who am I doing it for? And what's the outcome? Now this changes over time. So if you've been in business for a while, it's worth going back and doing this foundation. But the better you understand your ideal client, the easier it is to sell. Like selling becomes a service. It's so easy to sell when you really know what people want from you. I have had clients that start with just having an idea to teach other people creating a handbag. And then within a few months, they're making six figures teaching women how to create a handbag because they're just listening. They are doing their foundation. They are getting clear on the ideal client and what they want. So yeah, getting the foundation right is the first step.
Thank you. What's the best way to validate that your idea is a good one and you make your first sale?
Well, I have a process for this because I was very frustrated myself seeing so many women do it wrong, yeah, let's say, and trying to create courses, put courses out there, that I suggest that you actually go out with a free four-week course. I started this process in 2018. Now I call it Kickstart. It's my book. I have a book on it, Kickstart Your Online Business, actually free for your subscribers, for the podcast listeners. And the first step is after you've done the survey, you know who your ideal client is, and you come up with a course idea based on what people tell you that they're struggling with. And that's the clue here. You cannot create a course on your potato sentence, on the big problem. Your course has to be, I call it the eye of the potato. It has to be a good entry point. So if we take an example for a dog trainer, the the dog trainer can say, I want to help dog parents have better relationship with their dogs. That could be a potato sentence. But for a 4-week free course to really go out there into the market, build your email list and get your first sales, I suggest it's something like how to stop your dog from barking. And actually, I did have a client who actually did a survey interviews, and that's exactly what she came up with. And it was not the problem that she thought she wanted to create a course on. So she would have gone the wrong way if she hadn't done a survey and interviewed her clients or the people who were on her email list. So the 4-week course is a validation. Once you've got people signing up for free, yes, I know free signups are not the same value as paying signups, but you could get hundreds of people, even if you're starting from scratch, signing up for a free course. You do the course with them, you build it as you go, and then you have a sellable course because you have actually real people that have done the course with you. You ask them every week for feedback, and they will tell you what they're liking, what they're not liking, what you should add to the course. I mean, that just comes through the feedback. And then at the end of the day, the next step is to host a celebration call. I call it a celebration call, not a webinar, not a sales webinar, but you are selling the next step. And this is a process that I've been doing since 2018 with over 4,000 women, 90% completion rate. And this is the foundation for many 6- and 7-figure businesses.
Thank you. Are you saying to do like a 4-week course just one time so that you can get your initial clients that have gone through the course and you have some case studies of successful case studies? Or are you suggesting that this is something that you run all of the time so that it's almost like a loss leader where you're bringing people in and then they go through that and then you're always upselling them to something else that's bigger?
Yeah. My initial idea is that you just do it once as a validation, because once you have a few clients, you would go on to create something simpler, maybe do a 5-day challenge or a 3-day workshop next time you want to sell something. But I do have a few clients, they're a handful, I mean, not more than 5, that actually decided to do what you just described, to actually run a free 4-week course and then using it as a way to always sell their biggest programs. And I think one of my clients, he's an architect, and she has changed it into kind of a 3-week course, and then she's selling in the last week. And she says it's really the best way for her to sell architects a 3K or 4K program, because it's a more expensive program. But my idea is not that you have to repeat this. You know, that's by design. You only do it once to validate. And from there, you build your list and you find other methods to attract leads.
Thank you. What's the best way to find the correct pricing for your course and the correct duration for the course as well?
Well, pricing is something like you just lick your finger and point it to the air. And I mean, some people would have said, yeah, you do market research. You see what others are charging. I don't believe in that. I think pricing is really a reflection of your self-worth. It says a lot about you and what you think the value of your work is. Now, you do have to have some proof. People are not just going to buy because you think you're so great. No, you do have to prove that you can deliver value, that people can 5x, 10x, 20x their investment, let's say within 12 months. If you're selling a business course, now you might be selling a sewing course. And there, the return on investment is the joy of having created something from scratch that you didn't have before. So I have some ideas for people. I would say for a 4-week course, if you are in the hobby niche, between $200 and $400 is very common with my clients. And I have clients making almost 7 figures selling $400 courses. So it doesn't mean that you all have to stay small because the price is lower. You just need more people. If you are in the more life coaching niche, you might be able to charge more for a 4-week course. And if you're in the business coaching niche, you go even higher. I wouldn't say that you can really, most people cannot build a huge business with a 4-week course. So I'm more talking about 6- to 8-week courses. I call them signature courses, and I call the 4-week courses starter courses. The signature courses are the one you should actually launch. And some people have taken their four-week course and made it longer. And some people have created the next step, and that's your signature course. And then after the signature course, you could have the next step. Basically, what you actually want is an ascension model. You want to build a customer journey, because repeat clients, that's the best way to build a business.
Thank you. For those people that have already created their four-week free course, they have validated the idea. They have, let's say, 50 people that have gone through that course. What would be the next step? Would they create like a three-day challenge or a five-day challenge or something else? And tell us more about that. What would they create so they can have a recurring flow of ideal clients that can afford the course as well?
Yeah. I think we first have to look at the typical conversion rates in online business. The typical conversion rates, average conversion rates, is 3%. So if someone gets 50 signups for a free course, that's 1.5 sale, which means it's one sale. So I say to people, your goal should be 300. 300 would give you approximately 9 clients for your next step. And it doesn't really matter what you charge. You could be charging $500 or $1,500. Conversion rate doesn't change massively. It's only when you go really low priced, then you can increase your conversion rate. And if you go really high priced, it starts to drop below 3%. But I have seen people that got 50 free signups and converted 100%. I mean, it does exist. I just don't recommend people go into this process with those kind of expectations. And I said, it's better to be really realistic what's possible and what's the average does. And then if you do better than that, fantastic. So let's say the goal is to get at least 200, because that would be 6 potential sales. Now, that is not really an online course, what you would sell next. So I always give people an estimate. So if you have less than 200 signups for a free course, then probably your best next step is to offer one-on-one coaching. Now, most people don't want that, because the whole point of doing a course was to create a scalable business and not sell your time. But I say, well, if you only have to do it once or twice, I think I would rather sell someone one-on-one coaching services than not sell anything at all. After 200, I think you can have a group coaching program. After 500, you have enough people for an online course. And after maybe 2,000, 3,000 signups, you could start a membership. I have people going through the program right now and they have 5,000 signups. I mean, they must have had some social media followers before they started the process, but they didn't have a proper online business. So they are starting with the foundation. So what do you do once you've gone through the process once? You have now two programs. You have the four-week course and you have the next program that you created. And I suggest that the next program you created is the one you want to launch. That is another process in itself, launching, and it's not just a webinar. First of all, I say to people, this is like a 10-week process, because you need 4 weeks to prepare all the assets. Like, what are you launching? And you have to write the sales page. You have to be very clear on who is it for, what is it, what's the outcome, getting very clear. Now, this preparation phase has shortened a lot with AI. This phase can go from 4 weeks when you were doing everything by hand to a couple of days. I would say you still need a few days, because when you create copy, even with AI, and it knows your voice and it does everything perfectly, I would always say you sleep on it, think about it, go for a walk, be really clear that this is actually what you want to be selling. Once you know what you're selling and you have the copy for it, then you can decide, what is the mechanism, how I want to sell it? Do I want to do a three-day workshop, which is one way that I recommend that people use? And I do the 3 days in a row. I don't let a day pass beyond. So typically Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, three-day workshop. And because you want to have an experience in the launch where people have breakthroughs, insights, some lessons, and they also sleep on it. And so they come back and say, oh, this was my insight yesterday. I just realized this morning, this is my lesson. If you do a one-off webinar, which a lot of people recommend and are doing successfully, I don't say, there's no doubt that it works. It's just not great for beginners. You have a one-off chance to make sales And if that particular day wasn't great for you, or you stumble on something, I mean, that can be a loss for you. So I recommend that beginners and advanced do a 3-day workshop, and especially if your program is in the higher price segment, people need a bit more time with you. If you're selling a $1,000 program or a little bit less, 1 hour, 2 hour webinar can do the job. If you are aiming for something more expensive, I would say 3 days at least, to give people some time to get to know you, go through the process of, what's the opportunity, what's the transformation, what's the outcome, and the desire, and create a gap between what you are teaching them and what they're actually buying. This is super important in launching because people never want to buy what they already got. They're buying something that they don't have yet, and you create the desire for that by showing them, by teaching them something of value, obviously, so it's worth for them coming back day after day, but also then creating a desire what they could potentially have if they did this course and they don't have that yet. So my clients who are doing the hobby niche, they typically do webinars, 1 or 2 hours, and they will actually do what I say, a workshop. One of my clients, for instance, who is very successful in this, she will say, we're going to sew a t-shirt. She takes a very simple project and they actually do it. And that's the way she sells. So the old-fashioned sales webinars where you just give them 3 mistakes that I don't want you to make and what you should do instead, that doesn't do the trick anymore. The audience is way more savvy today, and they are not easily swayed away to invest in a course or a program after just hearing about some mistakes that they want to avoid. They want some practical hands-on knowledge. So that's why I'm a super fan of workshops and doing them regularly, so you attract more leads and then open up for your program. So that's how you go the next step after you have created your free course and your upsell.
Thank you. So how do you bring people to be kind of attending the workshop or the challenge? And I assume all of it is online, right?
Yes, everything is online. And the biggest issue with launches, this is actually a trick question that I used when I was trying to hire someone that was supposed to be a launch manager. And I asked, what do you think is the biggest challenge with launching? And some people had just typical AI answers and they were just not wrong. And one person said, show up rates. And I'm like, yeah, okay, you know something about this. Show up rates have declined throughout the years. I started with 50% show up rates and then they were average 30%. We are now seeing more like 10 to 15% if you don't do something special. So you've gotta have a show up bonus for, you've gotta reward people for showing up. Now, it's a double-edged sword because some people are just freebie hunters and just are going to do anything to get free stuff. And these are not your ideal clients. But fortunately, with that, you still get a portion of potential clients. And the show-up bonus needs to be something really juicy that they are after. So it cannot be like, oh, I'm going to give you the slides or and something. It needs to be something more valuable. But yeah, show-up bonus is a huge thing. And what has worked really well for me if I'm doing one-off webinars and not a 3-day workshop is no replay. That is where I still today get 60 or 70% show-up rate. And that is fantastic. I feel a lot of joy when I see that the people who signed up are actually coming. Like it's very disappointing when you see high sign-up rates and then there is, 10% or even less actually showing up. So you need to think strategically about this upfront. And before people sign up, actually on the sign-up page, it needs to be very clear, no replay. Also, it needs to be clear as a show-up bonus. So you need to have your strategy. You cannot be like, oh, what do I do now to get them to show up? This is a part of the strategy, the show-up rate. Because if people don't see your teachings, if they don't see you, if they're not there, it's very hard to get them to sell. I mean, the sales happen over emails, but they mostly go to people that are actually there. Replays, people are unlikely to watch. It still happens, but unlikely.
Thank you. What's the best way to optimize show-up rates, considering, let's say, you're starting to promote the course maybe a month in advance, or how long in advance do you start to promote the course? Because, for example, I'm very organized and I'm looking at my calendar and I see who's there and I'm like showing up. But let's say if I register for a course, I'm unlikely to add that to my calendar unless it's super important. And I think that most of the time I would forget. What would you do?
If you're doing really big launches, like I do seven multiple seven figure launches, and we have to start earlier and earlier. So we have moved from doing 4 weeks all the way up to 6 weeks. And that, again, is a double-edged sword, because what do you do with someone that signs up 6 weeks ahead of time and they've totally forgotten about your thing? You need to nurture them. You need to send them very special emails. You have to factor in that they might forget. So you maybe have SMS or WhatsApp to make sure they get those kind of reminders, because email alone will not do the trick. You might have a Facebook group that you want them to join. Now, be careful with the Facebook group though. Only open up the Facebook group when you are ready to engage it full of energy. So typically, I would not have a Facebook group open for 6 weeks. I would only open it a few weeks before the actual launch event. So you need to nurture the person. You can use ad event to have them add their dates of the calls or the workshops to their calendar, so that at least it's in there. And regularly reminding them of the workshop and teasing out the show up bonus more, showing them how amazing it is. And you might want to keep some intrigue. I've seen that done very well when you know partly what the show up bonus is, but partly not. You could say something, let's say I've written a new book, and not many people maybe know that I've written a new book, but I would still maybe tease out my best work yet or something. But I need to be able to actually deliver. I mean, do not hype something up that's gonna fall flat.
Thank you. I've been in Facebook groups before, and I've noticed some of them. I mean, the energy of it is like so high, and I don't even think that I don't think I've ever felt like sold to. I was just like so excited to be in that frequency and that energy. And I think the other thing that I really liked was like the lady herself was like so glamorous, and she was like showing her dresses, and I love dresses. And I think the thing that attracted me the most as well was like her lifestyle. She seemed to be like l literally living the life, like living in Greece and Cyprus and so many really exciting places, and wearing like these really glamorous dresses. And it had nothing to do with creating a profitable course, but somehow it had. So I'm wondering whether there's any like hacks for like getting the audience that will attend your course online excited before they even come to the course with something that's like totally unrelated to the course.
You touched on something that I actually do myself. So over Christmas, I host 12 days of master classes. Well, I have been hosting. I think that chapter is now closed, but I was hosting it for 10 years in a row. And I would always step it up. I would always do something new, something unexpected. So I also love dressing up, maybe not on a regular basis, but I love dressing up for the right occasions. So, and since I speak also at events, I have my own event, I have a lot of dresses and nice shoes. I love shoes. So I thought of this 2 years ago, that I would dress up in a different red dress every day and have different shoes every day. And I took a picture, or had someone take a picture. It's difficult to take a selfie of your full body. But we would then post that into the Facebook group and on social media. And these posts, as you just mentioned, they were more popular than the actual content. So people are getting to know you. Now, you cannot just copy a strategy that someone else does. So there's like not one strategy. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm gonna wear different dresses. It has to fit to you. And if you have some quirky habit or hobby, I mean, bring your personality in. The fact that I'm from Iceland and live in Switzerland has a huge relevance in my marketing, and I mention it all the time. I also love to travel, and I talk about that. And my audience is women regular women. I mean, what I say, real women. And they maybe do not like dressing up, but they do like maybe watching me traveling around the world, and they start to imagine what's possible for them. And I've noticed, you know, the women that I attract often maybe don't live in the country where they were born. I'm like, ah, I'm from Iceland. I live in Switzerland. I didn't realize all of this when I started out. So I was even not mentioning I was from Iceland until I had a client who had an Icelandic horse and said, I knew you were from Iceland. So she got attracted to me. So find out, like, use all your assets. I mean, where you're from, what you loved. Do you love pasta or Italy? I mean, it may sound ridiculous and you feel this is so irrelevant to business. The fact that I have two stepsons, that seems to be relevant to many of my clients because they cannot imagine working with someone that maybe has no kids. It's everything matters. So talk about it.
Thank you. What separates a profitable course from a non-profitable course? Would you say it's the fact that, let's say, some people just create a course that they haven't validated, or is it something else as well?
Well, it is on all levels. In the beginning, we do have to invest. So a course will not be instantly profitable. For instance, I hosted the retreat, my first retreat. I did a budget. And then I had the idea, oh, I need a photographer, I need a videographer. And I had already sold tickets to the retreats. So the retreat was a loss in that sense because it cost me more than I had factored in. But I have hosted many retreats since then, so I did get my money back. So you shouldn't necessarily expect that everything is profitable on day one. Now, if you're doing everything online, and if you don't factor in maybe that you invested in a program to learn how to do a course, then it's profitable. But if you calculate everything in, which you should, the first course is not profitable. Then you have to be careful, what do you add on top? Like, how much does the marketing cost? Everyone has to use paid ads now because organic reach is nowhere near what it used to be. So we also teach our clients paid ads. And with paid ads, you have to be careful. If it costs you $10 to get a lead and you're selling a course that's, I don't know, $400, it may not add up. It may not add up that you get enough signups to get all your ad cost back. But then there's another issue that comes also with someone like myself, and this is brand new. I do an analysis every year on the profitability of my programs. I've had four different programs now in the past couple of years. And one of the programs was hugely profitable. It was paying almost for everything else. And then something shifted now in January, where that program was no longer in the lead. And I have been evaluating this for the past few weeks. And I realized that some of my programs, I have added too much stuff. And this is a typical, I want to say female thing, but I don't want to be rude. But I mean, we want so much to help that we think that adding more stuff, more calls, more coaches. You know, when I'm scaling up my programs, I cannot be everywhere at the same time. So while I'm doing this podcast interview, there are coaches running my programs. But I realized that I had at some point hired too many coaches and there were too many calls. It's also not nice if you're in a program and there's constantly some calls happening and you feel you're missing out or you can't attend all the calls. But from a profitability standpoint, I knew this for a while, but this year has been a wake up for me. In addition comes AI. Now you can use agents to do work that virtual assistants did. Now we have AI assisted coaching. I'm not replacing my coaching with AI, but I just realized I had a program that was not so profitable anymore. Here's AI. This is my chance of rethinking how I do things. So I'm closing all my programs and starting fresh. And I'm letting some people go. And I'm teaching now women to do AI. So when you say, how do you know, like, how do you make a program profitable? You have to assess this. every year because the landscape may have changed. Maybe you sold less spots this year than last year, but maybe the cost of running the program is the same or even higher because ad costs have gone up. I invested massively in our latest seven-figure launch. It was seven-figure, that sounds amazing, but I had more costs than previous years. And so when that happens, you have to really take a look at the business as a business owner. And I think the faster you do it, the better, because then you essentially are making sure that your business keeps on going. So you have to look at the profitability all the time. And I think the biggest issue beginners have is making sure the program covers the ad costs safely and all the investments they need to actually run their business. And I think often the ad cost is getting spiraling too high. And in my case, for people who are more advanced and more in the seven and multiple seven figures and higher, look at the actual cost of running your program. If you have too many people involved, too complicated systems, I decided to simplify everything now, and I'm using the opportunity. I actually think like it's sad in a way when you say you have to let people go and you have to let programs go, and some of my clients are not happy. But there's an opportunity for me to design the program in a way, my new programs, in a way that they work better for me and for my clients.
Thank you. What's the perfect balance between transformation and information when it comes to the delivery of profitable courses that remain profitable for the longer term?
I think you should really dial down the information. I mean, people have an information overload and they easily get overwhelmed. And this is one complaint women have all the time, that they're overwhelmed. So when I did the Kickstart program, the one where I described before with the free four-week course and that whole process, I didn't just change what I was teaching, but also how I was teaching it. I went from teaching people everything about online business and here's another thing and here's another thing and here's another thing. Everything that I was learning myself, I would test it out, try it out, do it, and then teach it. And then I realized people were not doing the work. They were just watching videos and not implementing. And I decided I'm going to strip everything away that they don't need. So I even stripped away why they should do it. You know, why should you do a survey, for instance? I'm like, I'm skipping that because that adds another 10, 15 minutes to my explanation. So next, you do a survey and I just tell them how to do it, the logistics of it, and I give the template and I have the software, everything, but not the why. And it's interesting. Some women push back and like, I need to know why. And I'm like, just do it and you will figure it out. I mean, I'm happy to tell you later on. But instead of this being a 10-week course, it would suddenly be 6 months, or you are overwhelmed again. Another thing I did, besides stripping the information away, is that I had very clear deadlines. I said that if you submit the course idea, the landing page for the course, to me by this date, I will promote it on social media to my email list. So I had inbuilt accountability. And then the women could suddenly like skip their perfectionism and procrastination and all that stuff and like just do it. So that was really like the key, because if you want a profitable online business, profitable courses, you have to have your student do the work. If they don't do the work, you know, you have less testimonials. We have hundreds of testimonials from this process because we have a 90% completion rate, but it comes from accountability and it requires more resources. I mean, yes, AI can maybe do this, I don't know. But we have, I hire typically 15 prior students to help me with accountability because I can alone, impossible for me to do it. And these are people that have gone through the program themselves and they are perfect then in pushing the next person to do it. And this is a strategy I learned from Dale Carnegie. I'm a Dale Carnegie certified trainer. And when I had done the Dale Carnegie course myself, they picked me and said, do you want to be an assistant in the next program? I'm like, oh yeah, I would love to. And so that's what we do. We have an application process. We have people Now, year after year, the same people that want to help out in our courses to help people do the work. And when you can do that, when you get people to do what they want to do, you get testimonials, you get more leads, more sales, and more profitability.
Thank you. Tell us how entrepreneurs can leverage AI to make 100K monthly with profitable courses. What kind of things can they implement? Is it AI ads? Is it AI agents? And what specifically would they do instead? Would they create like a clone of themselves that their clients can access and then provide perhaps some membership, like a monthly membership? Or give us some examples of the top ways that people can leverage AI.
It does kind of everything that you mentioned, but to be very clear or structured about it, I have, for instance, a program on launching. Now, an agent has been created out of this program. So I can give that agent to a person and say, here is your assistant that helps you run through the launch. So I think the shift for entrepreneurs is that they are not necessarily going through courses in this way, but they have assistants that know what to do, how to do it, and they help them implement. So one really good example, for instance, is that, let's say this podcast interview, we're doing this on Zoom, there's video, an agent would automatically take the video afterwards, would transcribe it and all that stuff. Of course, we're doing that already automatically in the background, but I would say that assistant then is writing up a blog post, is editing the video, is putting it on the website, is creating the clips for social media, and is actually putting out there and even replying to social media comments. Now, this is possible right now. You may or may not want to do all of it or hand it over. It takes training, very clear standard operating procedures, SOPs. And so those who are best prepared for this new age are those who've been longer in business. They have an unfair advantage. You know, I have Zoom calls from the last 12 years. I've saved them all. And they're on Dropbox. So I can just go in there or have an agent go in there, go through all my calls, and yes, create a clone of me. But because I teach latest marketing strategies, something I taught 10 years ago is not going to be as relevant. So it would have to differentiate between classic fundamental business strategies and actually those things that get outdated. But basically, we have to imagine that you can have a marketing team with a marketing director. You can have the design agent and copywriter agent. You can have tech agent. I mean, those are just working. But then the entrepreneurs have to learn to manage a team. And most solopreneurs don't know that yet. They have never managed humans. So managing agents is going to be a little bit different. But still, those who have managed humans, especially remote teams, giving clear instructions over project management systems or tools like Slack, they're going to fare better in this world. And the others have to learn it. I think everything is learnable. And just imagine this world where you have a weekly meeting with your director agent and you tell them what you want to have done for this week. And then you check in on Friday. This is not something you can just let loose, like take care of my marketing and bring me leads. It's still... needs management. And this was an insight that I had to make myself, like, oh yeah, I have all these agents and they're all doing cool things. No, you need to organize it and make sure that you're actually just talking to one.
Thank you. Do you leverage AI in ads as well, in paid ads, in order to get people onto your workshops? Or do you still do it sort of like manually based on previous experience?
Yeah, so I still have an agency that does it for me, and they have promised me that they're not using AI. Well, promised. I actually want them to use AI. I can see this changing very fast. And actually, just last week, I had a meeting with my social media manager and with my ad agency and said, times are changing. You know, you need to step up because the agencies are going to be eliminated. So anyone who is like a social media agency or ad agency, they will be eliminated. I have not moved completely over to AI assisted ads. One of the reasons actually is that I'm banned from running ads. I haven't been able to solve it, so I have to have someone else run it for me. But yeah, that's a small excuse. But it's very easy, yeah, now also to have AI assisted ads. I would say the best way to start is actually have it help you create different variations of your copy, different variations of your images and all that stuff, and then move on to actually assisting you. But you have to know a bit about ads yourself. Like trusting an agent without you having the actual knowledge. Yeah, people have to have a bit of experience doing it themselves or working with someone who knows how to do it.
Thank you. What's the best way to get clients to actually do the challenges or the workshops? Is it to do, like, let's say for people that are starting out, is it best to do paid ads? Is it better to connect with random people on the internet and then to start making posts that could be exciting for that target market? Is it better to post in groups? What's your preferred method that works the best in order to attract clients for your courses?
I think it's the question, do you have time or do you have money? And in the beginning of your online business journey, you probably have more time than money, and therefore you go and try organic marketing. I don't have that luxury of time, enough time. We none of us has enough time. So I get 90% with paid ads. And then the conversion drops a bit because these people need to be warmed up more, nurtured more before they're ready to buy. But that's what I you know, that's a part of my formula. We do social media, obviously. We post every day and everything. But if you really want to be successful on social media, those people are typically teaching social media. And others pay for ads.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs who would like to create an online course, where can they connect with you and your information?
So I do have the book. It is sigrun.com/ the name of this podcast. So that's going to be easy to just add to the notes for people to click on. But sigrun.com is my website, and I use the handle sigruncom on all social media channels. So that's easy to find me on Instagram or LinkedIn or Facebook, or any other channels that pop up. I use the same handle everywhere. But yeah, you can download the book for free. The book normally costs on Amazon, but when I go on a podcast, I give the book for free away.
Follow us for more interviews with world's most influential business titans, providing you with the insights to awaken to your full potential so you can get paid to be yourself, find true happiness, and manifest anything you desire.